Lord, we give all the glory. We thank you for your presence in our midst. Lord, we bless you. Thank you, Lord, that you said it in your word, that where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are. We thank you, Lord, that we are gathered in your name, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this gathering. We thank you for your presence. We thank you as you guide us through the word of your person. Thank you, Lord, for the revelation knowledge of your glory. Thank you for your Holy Spirit in our midst, revealing you to us, enlightening us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord of glory, that you are our blessing. You are the one given to us to help us on the face of the earth. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you reveal yourself more and more to us, and we receive you more in your name, in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Please let's open to Galatians chapter 3, and we are going to take verse 14. We were looking at the truth before two Sundays ago that the blessing is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now we're going to look at the topic that the blessing, Jesus Christ, is priceless. It's a priceless blessing. The blessing of God, Jesus Christ, to you and I is priceless. Is of the value, nothing can be compared to Jesus. All the whole world, the wealth of the whole world cannot be compared to that blessing called Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Please let's read Galatians chapter 3. Let's take it from verse 13 and 14. Please let's go. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith in Jesus' name. Please let's zero down to verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And so we see the blessing of Abraham is the promise of the Spirit. And we know that the Lord is that Spirit. Please let's open to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 17. So the glory of God, the Spirit of God, did he promise to Abraham. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we know that the glory, the children's glory, is that of their Father. So the glory of God, the Spirit of God, the fullness of God, God in his full glory is in his Son. And so the Spirit of God, the glory of God is also called the Spirit of God, the same glory, the same Spirit. Remember, God is Spirit. And so the Spirit of God is the blessing of Abraham, and the Spirit of God given to him, the name of the glory of God, the fullness of God, is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So God did not give flesh. He did not give clay. He did not give the earthen vessel to you and I. No, he gave himself, the person of his glory, to you and I. And that is why the scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Please let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 17 and 18 together. Please, let's go. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. See that? The qualification, the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord is that same Spirit. The Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is the same glory, is the same Spirit of Christ given to you and I. That is the person of Jesus. For verse 17 is quite clear. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Now the Lord is that Spirit. There is only one God. God begat himself from himself. In other words, he made a divine duplication of himself and gave him to us, calling his divine duplicate Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so again, we see that the blessing is the Spirit of God, the glory of God, the fullness of God, which we have to receive. It is quite clear, the glory of God, the fullness of God. And is also called the goodness of God. For only God is good. His glory is good. His fullness, his Spirit, all that he is in his entirety, he gave to us in the person of Jesus Christ, his Son. And we give him all the glory. Amen and amen. Please, let's open to Exodus chapter 33. We are going to link it with Psalm 23. For remember, Psalm 23 verses 5 to 6 says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And so you can see that the table of blessing is called the goodness of God. For God had set his glory on that table. On that table in the tabernacle of Moses, in the holy place, you have the table of blessing, also called the golden table, and on it is the bread and the wine. The bread and the wine. The table of the body, the entirety of the Son of God. God set before us the blessing that we are supposed to partake of daily, the blessing that is with us daily. In that holy place, you have the golden table. On that golden table, you have 12 loaves of bread, and you have a vessel of wine, and also bowls for you and I to partake of the bread and to drink wine, the new wine that Jesus brought for us, the new wine that is the best wine, the only wine for you and I to partake of that table of blessing. And when we start to partake of that table of blessing, guess what? The anointing will come upon us, the same glory as we are receiving it as we eat daily and drink daily, interpreted as growing in the knowledge of the Son of God, studying the Word of God daily so that we know truth. We are growing in the knowledge of truth, and grace is filling us. It is you and I eating the body of Jesus and drinking his blood. In other words, we are taking of that bread and drinking the wine that is on the golden table that is in the holy place. We are growing in the knowledge of him because we are carrying our Bibles daily to study under the guidance of the Holy Ghost. And we also come to church to hear the same same word of Jesus under the guardian of the Holy Ghost. It is you and I drinking of that wine and also eaten the bread on that golden table. And the Holy Ghost is guiding us through, making us to understand the scriptures, interpreted as the lampstand that is standing alongside the golden table, shedding its light on the content of the golden table. For without the lampstand, the holy place will be dark. You won't be able to see your way round about it. But the lampstand sheds its light and makes the content of the golden table visible to you and I. In other words, we understand the scriptures. He reveals the scriptures to you and I as we study them daily. The Holy Spirit, the same Spirit of Christ. And as we continue to eat, in other words, studying the Word of God daily, growing in the knowledge of truth, growing in the knowledge of the Son of God who is set on that table, it means we are partaking of that table of blessing. Jesus is our blessing. But we have to know the blessing. We have to know, for without the knowledge of Him, we won't partake of the blessing. We won't be anointed with oil. Our cup won't run over. But if we are hearing the Word of God daily, partaking of the table of blessing, guess what? He will anoint our heads with oil. Our cup will run over. And guess what? Goodness, the same glory of Christ, will follow us all of our days on the face of the earth doing things. His glory will be on us, and His glory will be round about us. Remember, the scripture says God is a wall of fire round about us. He is the glory in our midst. And I tell you, He will bless us. He will make sure all our lot is blessed. All our lot, we will see the manifestation of the glory that is upon us and round about us, the glory that is in us. We will see the manifestation of the glory in every area of our lives, the same way as father of faith Abraham in his days in the earthen vessel. The Bible says every problem he had, the Lord solved it for him, sorted it out for him. When he had no children, the Lord gave him a seed of promise, the child of promise, Isaac. The Lord made him into a whole nation. And I tell you, not only a whole nation, nations, for we are also his descendants. That is the doing of the Lord, and it is marvelous in our sight. And the Lord made him to be so rich, so blessed. Remember when his servant went to look for a wife for his son, he loaded his camels with gold. And he told Laban, "The Lord hath blessed my master." See part of what the Lord had blessed him with. Every problem, even when Pharaoh and when Abimelech, when they took Abraham's wife, the Lord sorted it out. Every problem, because the blessing of Abraham was upon Abraham himself. And we give God all the glory that we are partakers of that blessing. And so again, we will see in this Exodus chapter 33, that the goodness is the glory of God. The goodness is the glory of God. And in that table, the golden table that is signifying Christ is set for you and I to take into us and to have on top of us and to be with us all of our days on the face of the earth. If only we know and believe what we know according as it is written. Please let's look at Exodus chapter 18. Sorry, chapter 33. Let's take it from verse 18 to the end. Please let's go together. Okay, now. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the Lord, the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Amen. But look at verse 19. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And look at verse 22. And it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by. So you see the same words, glory and goodness, refers to the entirety of God, the Spirit of God, the fullness of God, everything. Now, please let's look at Psalm 23. Let's set the word before our eyes. Let's zero down to verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointed my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now you see that once you have believed in Christ, the same as father of faith Abraham, see a key, the goodness, the glory of God. Not only do we have him on the inside, he's also set before us on that table of blessing, the golden table. We are to eat him, we are to drink him, and then he will come upon us, he will anoint us, and then his goodness, the same glory, will follow us all the days of our life. We will be enjoying the glory, will do things in our lives, will be helping us to live on the face of the earth. Remember, the enemy has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The only person that can help us is God himself. And so he gave us his son. He blessed us. In the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the deadness, in the midst of the hardship, the corruption of the world, the only person that can help us is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so he has given us the glory. The glory. He did not give us the earthen vessel, for the flesh profited nothing. If the flesh could help, then he would not send his son. But because the flesh profited nothing, it is the glory of God that is filled with the divine power and is filled with all of the Word of God, is filled with what we need to live successfully in the midst of all what the enemy is doing on the face of the earth. So you can see he has given us his goodness, also called his glory, also called his fullness, also called the Spirit of God. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. Please, let's look at Luke chapter 11. Let's drop down to verse 13 so that we know the Son of God given to you and I is the glory of God. It's not the flesh he dwelt in. It is what was dwelling in that flesh, the glory of God. That is what is given to you and I for us to partake of him. He will help us all of our days on the face of the earth. Please let's read together Luke 11 verse 13. Please let's go. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gift unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Underline that. The Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Remember, Psalm 84 says, the Lord is a sun and shield, and that he gives grace and glory. So the gift of God is always his grace and glory. His grace is in his glory. The gift of God is his glory. The Lord God is a sun and shield. Please let's open to it so that we will see all these things ourselves. Psalm 84, verse 11. Please let's read it. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And we've read it that the Father gives the Holy Spirit. And so again, we see the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Remember, Jesus is the power of God. He is the grace of God. His glory is filled with all grace and all truth. And we give God all the glory that he is giving to you and I. Please, let's open to Psalm 16. Let's read verse 5. The Lord God, Jesus, he's the one given to you and I. And look at, he's our blessing. We have to understand that he's our portion in the land of the living. He's the strength of our heart. He's the one who will help us. And so, Psalm 16, verse 5, please let's read it together. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my Lord. Please let's read it again. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my Lord. You can see even the cup he anointed, our cup. You can see he is our inheritance. He is the portion. The Lord is the one who is our blessing. We have to understand it. And then he maintains our Lord in this life. All of our days, he will maintain our Lord. If we truly know that he's our inheritance, he's our blessing, he's our cup, he's the one we have to receive more and more into every area of our lives. Please, let's open to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. And let's read verses 25 and 26. Please let's go. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. See that again? Please let's read it again. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. See that? He's our inheritance. God is our portion. Remember, the Levites were not given any land, you know, because the Lord said that the tabernacle, the contents there, that is their own inheritance, the priest and the Levites. And it's the same thing too. We are now the priest of God. Jesus is our portion. He's our inheritance. He's our blessing on the face of the earth. And look at verse 25 again. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. In other words, desire, really want the blessing. Really want, really desire, love the blessing. The blessing is priceless. The blessing can do all things for us, keep us, make us to live successfully on the face of the earth. He will not allow the enemy to wreak havoc in our lives. He will help us. Even when the enemy attacks, he will help us. Look at how he helped Job. No matter what, the end of our days is always good because the goodness of God, the glory of God is with us. All these we have to understand. But see a key, desire. There has to be that desire, that want. In other words, the love for the blessing is up to you now. You have to want and desire the blessing. You have to set your heart on the blessing. As we are going through these scriptures, knowing him more and more, you have to desire him. You have to set your heart on him. You have to start putting him as your only hope. You have to start looking to him to help you with even the littlest things in your life. And in my life, we have to realize that he is more than enough for us on the face of the earth. Please, let's open to Psalm 105. Verses 3 to 4. In fact, let's take it from verse 1 to 4. Please, let's go. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. See a key. Seek the Lord. Glory ye in his holy name. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. How do you seek the Lord? You search the scriptures. Remember, John chapter 5, verse 39 says, search the scriptures. In there you know and you think you have eternal life. These are the same words that speak of me, says Jesus. So you search the scriptures. As we are doing now, we are searching the scriptures together under the guidance of the Holy Ghost. And you see, seek. Your seeking the Lord will bear fruit when you start to love Him, when you start to desire Him. For as we are knowing Him now, if you allow the Holy Ghost to work in your heart, you will start to desire the person of Jesus. You will start to love. Seeking has to do with your desire, your wanting Him, your loving Him. I tell you, if you really don't want truth, if you really don't want to know Christ, you will not desire to search the scriptures daily. Not just every Sunday. No, even at home, you will be seeking Him because you desire, you love Him, you love Him. Please, let's open to Jeremiah chapter 29. Let's look at verse 12 and 13. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart. See a key. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. In other words, desire, love, love for the person, love for truth, love, desiring, wanting, wanting. You are searching because you want to have something. You want to know something. You want to have the knowledge of Him. You want to know Him. You want to know God yourself. You want to know truth. And so again, we see a key. Please, let's flip back. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 55. Let's drop down to verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Verse 7 says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, see a key. The person we are seeking, the person we want to know because we love and desire to know Him, He is entirely distinct. He is separate from everything we know in the physical. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So we have a very unique, only one of His type. And so you can see, if you are seeking Him, you have to seek the person of Him. You have to desire His own ways, His own thoughts. You have to desire everything pertaining to Him. In other words, obey Him. Simple. You live as He is. You obey the words of Him, because that is what is associated with Him. Anything outside that is not His ways, is not His thoughts, is not His words. So we see the person we are seeking, we have to love and desire Him. Love and desire Him. And that is a condition of the heart. Please, let's open to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Let's look at verses 29 to 31, and we will see a key again. The heart. You have to love the Lord. You have to desire. You have to love. And I tell you, if you love the Lord, you will obey Him. Those who love the Lord, they do truth. They know truth to do. They make sure they go through the scriptures daily so as to know Him according to His word and do His word. In other words, obedience. They keep the word of Him because they love Him. They desire Him. We can't say we love the Lord and leave obedience out of it. It means we don't love the Lord. We can't say we desire to know truth and leave obedience out of it. It means we don't love the Lord. We don't love the blessing. And if we don't love the blessing, we can't have the blessing. Deuteronomy chapter 4, please let's take it from verse 29. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him, if thou seek Him with all thine heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shall be obedient unto His voice, for the Lord thy God is merciful. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. See a key. If we seek Him with all of our heart, a heart seeking the Lord is a heart that loves the Lord. And such a heart desires the Lord. In other words, loves, desires, and the evidence of that is obedience. Look at verse 30. If thou turn to the Lord thy God and shall be obedient unto His voice. See how that seeking with the heart to find Him is linked with obedience. Those who know truth, they do truth. Those who love truth, they do truth. If you don't do truth, you don't love truth. If you don't obey truth, you don't love truth. And it means you don't love Christ. Please, let's look at John chapter 14. Let's zero down to verses 21 and 23. Even in little things, we must make sure we know what to do according as it is written and do it. John chapter 14, let's first look at verse 21. Are we all there? Okay. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Look at, that's the evidence of the love of the blessing. And the blessing says he will manifest himself, who is the blessing, to us in our lives because we love him. How? Obeying the word of his person according as it is written. Let's look at verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. See again, the keeping, obedience. It's not just taking the Bible and putting it on the shelf. No. He's obeying the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we see, the blessing will, yes, he has prepared a table before you and I. The reason why we're not partaking of him and that blessing being made manifest in our lives is because we don't know him. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected truth, I have rejected you from being king. A king is blessed by the Lord God himself. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all of my days on the face of the earth. We are supposed to eat of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But because we are not knowing him and we are not obeying him, he cannot manifest the blessing in our lives. Please let's open to Psalm 91. We will understand further what the Lord is telling you and I. We have to value the blessing. How do you show that the blessing, Jesus Christ, is priceless to you? By obeying him. By obeying him. By keeping the word of God, living a lifestyle of obedience. By obeying him. You keep the word, you do the word of God. You take time daily to study the word of God, even if it's one verse, under the guidance of the Holy Ghost, so that you know your blessing, you know your help, you know your shield, you know your favor, you know the blessing set before you, so that it be well with you all of your days on the face of the earth. Please let's read Psalm 91 from verse 14 to 16. Please let's go. Because he had set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. But it started from the very first sentence. Let's look at verse 14 again. Because he had set his love upon me. Because you have set your love upon him. Somebody who sets their love upon God, they know him and obey him. They do truth. If you are willing and obedient, you will what? Eat the good of the land. They love to obey truth. They love to know him and obey him. They love to walk in the knowledge of truth. They love to do truth, to keep truth, to obey the word of God. They love the lifestyle of obedience. Yes, it's a disciplined lifestyle. It's a very tight jacket, but they love it because it is the way of Christ. So, see a key. Because he had set his love, because you and I, we have set our love upon Jesus, the blessing, therefore will he what? Deliver us out of all the troubles of life. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord God delivers him from them all. The righteous has to set their love upon him. The evidence of one who has set their love upon him is they are growing in the knowledge of him daily and obeying him, doing truth daily, living for him, walking. No matter the darkness round about, they are obeying him. They have a lifestyle of obedience to truth. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. They that obey, they know whom they are obeying, and they know the name of their blessing, Jesus, the Son of God. Verse 15 says, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. See a key. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. See? He will be with us in trouble. He will look after us. He will honor us. He will set us on high. We know his name. And we have set our love upon him. In other words, we are obeying him whom we know. If you say you love Jesus and you are just doing your own thing, forget it, you don't love him. And if you say you know Jesus and you are just doing your own thing, forget it, you don't know him. Nor do you know his name. Verse 16 says, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. See, in every situation of life, he will save us. He will help us at home. Everything, all of our Lord, he will help us because we have set our love upon him. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's look at verses 4 to 6. So you have to love or cherish your blessing. You have to take him as priceless. You see, to obey the word of God, you have to look at it this way. Everything about God is separate, is unique from all what we can see, from all what we can perceive with our physical senses. So he is unique. Now you have to compare all what you can see or perceive with your physical senses with him as you are studying the word of God. Now, which one will you give your life for? Which one do you value the most? Is it what you can perceive round about you, the houses, the cars, you know, things round about us, or for Christ as you are knowing him? Of course, you cannot have anything to compare the physical with if you are not studying the word of God. That is the key. For as you are growing, if you are studying the word of God, as you keep studying, growing in the knowledge, you will understand and you will see a distinctiveness between the physical things we can see, perceive, touch, taste, and the person of Jesus. And of course, you will be able to make your own choice. Which one is priceless to you? Which one do you value the most? Which one do you love the most? Do you love God in the person of his son than what you can see in the physical, than what you can perceive? And of course, the choice is yours. Deuteronomy chapter 6, please let's take it from verse 4 to 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thine might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Now, see a key. You have to love him with all of your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. In other words, you give everything for him. That's the love of the blessing, the love of Christ. Everything you can see or touch or taste round about him for his love, and the evidence is you obey him. You obey him. Please let's open to Matthew chapter 22. Let's look at verses 36 to 38. And we know it was the Pharisee is questioning him. And he says there, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. In other words, let God be priceless to you. Let Jesus be priceless to you. Nothing, if you take everything in the world, is not up to the blessing. Value Jesus. Cherish him. Please, let's look at Romans chapter 8. And we will see a great key. We have seen it, that if you set your love upon Christ, he will help you. He will deliver you. He will sort you out no matter the situation on the face of the earth. I've been young, I've been old, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Look at how the Lord of glory is even looking after the sons of Abraham, even till now. And I tell you, we are also sons of Abraham. Why are we not having the blessing in manifestation in our lives? It's because we don't know him. We have not set our heart on him. It is the person you know that you will obey. We have not made that choice that Jesus is priceless to us. Please, let's look at Romans 8. Let's zero down to verse 28. Please, let's go. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his own purpose. See a key? All things work together for good to them that what? Love God, and to them that are called according to his purpose. For good. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, because I have set my love on him. I have set my love on him. And the evidence is, I'm obeying him, making sure in little things, in everything, big thing, that it is according to what God says. And look at it. All things will work together for good. No matter the tribulations, no matter the hardship, no matter the troubles, the afflictions of life, his goodness that is always with me, that is always following me, will be made manifest. For all things will work together for good. Only God is good. And it is from his goodness that I will have all things working together for good, because I have set my love upon him. And the evidence of those who have set their love upon him is that they do the word of God, the word of himself. They obey. They live a lifestyle of obedience. And so again, we see a key. And so, what is the Lord telling you and I? Please, let's open to Matthew chapter 13, and we will see a key there from verse 44 to 46. You and I have to understand these basic things. We're not playing church, no. We are gathered in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, and to know him whom we are gathered in. And I tell you, it is to our benefit to know him, so that we partake of the table of blessing. We have the him coming upon us. We have his goodness with us. Haven't you heard? The Lord is a wall of fire round about his own, and he is the glory in their midst. The same Lord who was round about father of faith Abraham, the same Lord who was round about Job and the glory blessing them, making sure that everything works together for good to them because they love God. Is the same God. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And all the blessings of God, they are yea and amen in Christ Jesus alone. And now, how you and I were to do. Matthew chapter 13, please let's take from verse 14 to 46. Please let's go. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. See a key? He realize that everything else is of no value. Only that treasure that he found in that field that is of great value. Love the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. I tell you, the knowledge of Christ and the obedience of Christ, you have to value it above all else. It is priceless. Verse 45 says, again the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great value, of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it, telling us that everything else on the face of the earth is of no value compared to the knowledge of Christ and the obedience of Christ. For they that know Christ, they obey him. Setting your love on him. Because look at, they sold everything that they had for Christ. They sold everything, everything, just for that one pearl, just for that one thing, the pearl, the treasure. Jesus is the treasure. Jesus is the blessing. Jesus is the one that we are to seek through the scriptures, knowing him and making sure as we know him by his grace, we start to obey him. Please let's open to Proverbs chapter 8 and you see the same thing. For Jesus is the wisdom of God. Jesus is the power of God. Power to bless us is in Christ. The word of blessing is in Christ. And I tell you, that same word is written for us so that we search and know. The same words in Christ is what we have from Genesis to Revelations, Old King James. Please let's look at Proverbs chapter 8, verses 10 to 11. Let's start from that one first. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. We've read the same thing in Matthew chapter 13. Let's drop down to verse 17 to 21. I love them that love me. Please underline that. They that love Jesus, Jesus loves them. And to love Jesus is to know him and then obey him. Obey the words of the knowledge of him. I love them that love me. And we've seen it that all things work together for good to them that love God. He loves them that love him. You have to set your love upon him. You have to compare him priceless, of much value than the things of life. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. Abraham was not a poor man in worldly terms. Job was not a poor man in worldly terms. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. He will add the things that we need in life unto us. And so again, verse 19 says, my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasuries. Please underline that. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their what? Treasuries. So again, we see a key. It's a situation of the heart. It's a situation of the heart. And so now, let's look at two examples. We know the story of Cain and Abel, isn't it? The same words had they, but Cain chose to do his own thing. He was not obedient. And it's the same thing now. We hear the word of God. We allow it to fly past our, you know, over our heads. And it's the same thing. Let's read Genesis chapter 4 from verse 4 to 7. And so we have to, all of our days, make sure we are looking into the Bible daily so as to know what God wants. They that love him, they are the ones he loves. It's quite clear. And he will bless them. Genesis chapter 4. Please read it from verse 1 to 11, but let's zero down to verse 4 to 7. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he hath not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. See a key. If thou do well, if you obey God, shall thou not be accepted? In other words, you partake of the blessing. And we also know the story of Jacob and Esau. We know they both heard the words of blessing. The same word of God is called the word of blessing. The word of God is also called the word of his blessing. And looking at these two examples, we understand why we have to take the blessing as priceless, of greater value in our lives, if we want his help, if we want it to be well with us on the face of the earth. This is what Abraham did. Remember, he walked perfectly, obeying God, making sure he was growing in the knowledge of God. Even Job was still growing in the knowledge of God. And God helped him. And the same thing too, King David. It is there. The people of faith, he helped all of them. Everybody that fell under chapter 11 of Hebrews, God helped them because they made sure they lived an obedient life before him. And so again, Cain and Abel. Let's open to Genesis chapter 25. They had the blessing, but we know Esau despised the blessing. And I tell you, many despise and scorn and profane the blessing. If you are not obeying God, you despise the blessing. You are scorning it. You think it's not important. You think it's irrelevant. If you are not growing in the knowledge of him, you think it is not important. Please let's zero down to verse 30 to 34. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." See a key? He wanted the birthright so much. He valued the birthright, the blessing, the word of blessing. He valued it above all else. And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?" Please underline that. What profit? Many think there is no profit in Jesus. Many think there's no profit in coming to church and hear the word of blessing. It's the same thing too. Jesus is our birthright, you know. He's our portion in the land of the living. He's our inheritance. And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he swore to him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. You can see a key. It is now. What I can get now. And forsaking. See, is the physical. He valued the physical more than the spiritual blessing. Please let's open to Hebrews chapter 12 and we will see what the scriptures made us to understand. You see, why Esau was rejected is because he did not set his love upon the blessing. He did not set his heart on the blessing. Jacob had the same word of blessing too and set his heart upon it. And it's the same thing too. We are complaining, "Oh, look at, we Christians are not being blessed," in quote. We are blessed. We are the ones who have not set our heart on the blessing. We have scorned the blessing. We are not obeying God. We have given ourselves leeway to do whatever we want. Hebrews 12, please let's zero down to verse 14 to 17. "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. See a key? Just crying and crying and whinging won't make the blessing to be made manifest in your life and in my life. The way of God and the thoughts of God, they are way different. So he cried. But remember, he despised. He scorned. He made of no relevance in his life the word of God. And then now he wanted the blessing. Things do not work like that. Verse 18 says, okay, let's stop there. And so again, you can see, profane person, he despised the blessing. He did not cherish it. He made it of no value. And yet, look at that man who went to sell everything he had simply to purchase that pearl. You have to see a key. You have to see a key. And it is the same thing with you and I too. The blessing. Jesus is our blessing. But what price have you put to Jesus? What price? Is he priceless to you? Or like Esau, you despise and scorn him? And so let's take some few minutes to reflect on what we have shared. Understand, profane means does not value the blessing. Do you value Jesus according as he is written? And remember, those who value Jesus, they obey the word of God. Profane also means does not treat the blessing as priceless. Jesus must be to you and I like that pearl the man found in the field and sold all that he had simply to purchase that pearl. And we know, because we set our love upon him, to set your love upon him, you have to take him as being priceless. Nothing on earth is worth as Jesus, according as he is written. Nothing is to be compared with the person of the Son of God in your life. And those who love Jesus, they obey the word of God. That's why we cannot do without obedience. When there is the encouragement to sin against the word of God, know that it is life from the pit of hell. That is not of God. If you love God, he will love you in return. How do we love God? Obey him. God loves us all. Don't get me wrong. But for you to get the blessing of God, for him to come and dwell and surround you with himself as a shield and be the glory, for him to be the goodness following you all of the days of your life, you have to live a life of obedience. All things work together for good to them that love God and that are called according to his purpose. We're all called, yes. We're all called, but they that truly love God, they obey him. So we have to truly understand these things. And so we see the lifestyles, you know, the two examples we've looked at. We have to take the word of God seriously, really. We have to take seriously the knowing of the scriptures ourselves. Come to church, come for Bible studies. You have to know Jesus yourself. And it's for your own good, it's for my own good. I tell you, none of us has power to help ourselves on the face of the earth. Only Christ. Only Christ. Only Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And so again, please let's open to Psalm 91 from verse 14 to 16. Let's look at it again. And remember, we also looked at Proverbs 8. 17 says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. In other words, he loved those that obey him, really. Psalm 91 from verse 14 to the end, because he had set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him, and show him my salvation. And so as we have read that, look at your heart. Are you ready to set your love upon him, upon Jesus? Are you ready that as you are growing in the knowledge of him, you will be obeying him according as he's written? You want to please Jesus with a lifestyle of obedience in everything, even in words, in thoughts, in deeds, how you relate with others, everything pertaining to you. Are you ready to set your love upon him? Is a question we have to ask ourselves individually. And individually, we have to answer before him. He's here in our midst. He knows all heart. I don't know your heart. I can only see what you're wearing and how you look. But I tell you, God sees into the heart. And he is the most important, not me. And so, are we ready to set our love upon him? In other words, set our heart on God. A heart set on God is a heart that is willing to obey the word of God. No matter what, Jesus first, setting our heart on him, wanting to know him according as is written, growing in the knowledge of him, and then obeying him, living a lifestyle of obedience to him. Yes, is a very disciplined life, but because we have set our heart, our love upon him, we know his grace is sufficient for us. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. Hallelujah. And so, let's just say, Lord Jesus, I have set my heart on you. I have set my love on you. All of my days on the face of the earth, I will love you by obeying you. I will love you by knowing you and obeying you. Lord, I thank you for your presence.